Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.wordpress.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the show. This is Luke speaking, of course, because you're listening to Luke's English Podcast. In this episode, I'm joined by a friend of mine called Pierre. Pierre is a French comedian who now performs comedy in English. His English is very good. And so in this episode, I interview Pierre and we talk about various things, including his experiences of learning English, his experiences of doing comedy, stand-up comedy in a second language. And then after our conversation, I teach Pierre how to do some British accents. So you can listen to that too and perhaps follow what we're doing and learn a few things about different British accents as well. So that's what you can expect in this episode. It's quite a long one, as usual. So you can choose. You can either listen to the whole thing in one go if you have the time. If you don't have time, maybe you're on your way to work or something, you can just listen to some of it and then pause and listen to the rest later. But do listen to the whole thing because it's brilliant from start to finish. So that's what you can expect. Go to teacherluke.podomatic.com or teacherluke.wordpress.com in order to find all of the text that relates to this episode, because I'm going to add some bits of language, some vocabulary or phrases that you might hear in this episode. I'll add them to the page and then you can use that as a way of like seeing what we said. It could be a great way to pick up bits of language. So do that. I'll also post some videos that relate to some of the things that we talked about in the interview. So that's pretty much it for this introduction. I do hope you enjoy the show. And thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. Now you can listen to my interview with Pierre Gaspard. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the episode. I think I've probably already done an introduction, so I'm just repeating myself already. I've already started repeating myself. But I'm joined now by a very attractive-looking gentleman. He looks, if you can imagine, Bruce Wayne. What's his name? Christian Bale. Exactly. You know the actor Christian Bale. Imagine Christian Bale in all his amazing Hollywood glory. Well, that's basically what I've got sitting in front of me. So I'm joined in this episode by Pierre Gaspard, who is a friend of mine from the stand-up comedy scene here in France, and he looks exactly like Christian Bale. In fact, when I first saw him, I thought, is that Christian Bale doing stand-up? I didn't realise he was French, but apparently not. No, it's just he has a look-alike living in Paris. And so I'm going to tell you a couple of things about him. Well, as I've said, Pierre is a French stand-up comedian who I've met on the stand-up comedy scene here in Paris. He performs a one-hour show in English every Saturday evening. The show is called No Shame, and it's very funny. I've seen it. It takes place at the Café Panam near République in Paris. Every Saturday evening, you will find all the details for this show on the website, which, as you know, is teacherluke.podomatic.com or possibly teacherluke.wordpress.com, depending on sort of when you're listening to this. As far as I know, Pierre originally comes from Marseille, and I think he has spent spent some time living in the USA. But we're going to find out now because we're going to start talking to him. So, first of all, we're just going to get to know Pierre a little bit and just start talking. We're going to find out about the world of Pierre Gaspard. I don't know why I did that in an American accent. And afterwards, we're just going to have fun. Maybe we're going to play around with English accents. I'm going to try and teach Pierre how to speak with a British accent. So are you looking forward to that, Pierre?
I am, absolutely.
Good. Good, excellent. Okay, so Welcome to the podcast, Pierre.
Thank you for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Am I the first person to say that you look like Batman?
No, some people have said that. It's not true, obviously. If now people come to see my show and they look at me and they're like, that's not Christian Bale. I don't know. I guess I have some face features that kind of resembles him, but I look more like, I don't know, E from Entourage or something like that.
Yeah.
But yes, people, Henry from the New York Comedy Night has told me that. I used to tell him he looks like David Beckham.
And Henry looks like David Beckham. Yeah, he does a bit.
Yeah, it's
a good point.
Exactly. We exchange silly pictures on Twitter now.
Yeah?
Yeah, he calls me Christian Bale, I call him David Beckham, and, you know.
Okay, that's not bad. So, by the way, Henry is another performer. He comes from England.
Absolutely.
He's a film studies student, as far as I know. I might have Henry on the podcast at some point in the future to talk about movies, because he's interested in that. And so, yeah, I never expected to have Christian Bale and David Beckham on Luke's English podcast. Not this early. I thought maybe later, you know, they'll all be writing emails to me. Luke, please, can I be on your podcast? That's like, you know, George Clooney. Luke, please, I've got a new movie out. I want to promote it.
Maybe he need a coach for a British accent, George Clooney.
I think, yeah. That's a good idea. Has he ever done a British accent in a film?
He wouldn't. No, I don't think so.
Really?
That wouldn't be believable. It would be like Brad Pitt doing a like British.
Yeah, I don't think he's. No, he has. Brad Pitt did
the vampire movie. Was it with a British accent?
Interview with the Vampire. I'm not sure. It might have been British, but he did a kind of Irish gypsy accent.
Oh yeah, in Snatch.
In Snatch, which was very good. The accent, I mean.
And he did a German accent in 7 years in Tibet, I think.
Did he? Yes.
It was pretty bad.
Really?
Yeah, I think he didn't have a good coach at that time.
Yes, there are some examples of very, very terrible accents in movies. Have you seen Ocean's 11?
Yeah.
It's a George Clooney film, of course, and Brad Pitt. But there's a character in that. What's the name of the black guy from England? The actor, he's in Iron Man. I can never remember his name.
Now I missed it. Yeah, I see, of course, who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
He does a classically awful British... So he's meant to be a Cockney, but he just gets it all horribly wrong. I've been trying to find like clips of him doing this accent from the movie, but they've all been erased from YouTube. I think that he's working very hard, searching through all of YouTube just to prevent people from realising that his English accent is so
bad. Well, he shouldn't, because that adds like a comical, you know, side of it. Like this role, like it doesn't make sense at all that this guy would be playing a British Cockney accent guy.
I think they had to have like an American actor who was kind of popular. They wanted a British character, but they also wanted an American actor in order to sort of like get more audience in America. Right. And they wanted someone that everyone knew. And so they had to choose an American guy. And they're like, can you do maybe like a Cockney accent? And he really wanted to be in the film. So he was like, yeah, sure, I can do Cockney. And in the back of his head, he's thinking, oh, God, I've got no idea how to do Cockney accent, and he was right. So how are you, Pierre? Are you all right? Are you comfortable?
Yes, I'm very comfortable, thank you. I'm enjoying some tea that you've served me, as a British man should.
Yes.
And some nice cookies that are homemade, pretty good as well.
My girlfriend made some cookies for us, because she's nice like that.
She's very nice, absolutely.
Yeah, it's very generous. So we've got, I would almost say, a pile of cookies
to
deal
with. It's really bad, because now I don't want to do that podcast anymore. I just want to eat all the cookies and then deal with that podcast later. Like, yeah, we'll see.
I'm just leaving the cookies there to tempt you.
It's horrible, because obviously I can't eat them while recording.
No, you can eat cookies during the episode.
I won't do that. It's okay.
It won't be the first time that I've spoken with my mouth full on this podcast. Usually it's chocolate.
With cookies, right?
Yeah, usually food of some description.
Okay.
Usually it's chocolate, sometimes tea. Often tea.
Tea's okay.
Yeah, but it's bad when you do this on the podcast.
Yeah.
Do you are you one of these people who finds that very annoying to slurp your tea?
No. No, because in some countries it's like the right way to do it. Like in Iran, if you don't make noise while you drink your tea, I think so.
Yeah?
I don't want to be like, yeah, in Iran, because I've been there. I've never been there. But I heard, maybe, that from this country, if you don't make noise, it's like bad or insulting.
Really?
It's like burping when you're eating couscous or whatever.
Yeah. Only when eating couscous. You can burp when you're eating salad. Like, no,
I don't
problem.
Know if my grandparents were racist or something like that, but they always told me that, like in Algeria, because they used to live there, you can, at the end of the meal, if you burp, it means that you had a good meal, and that's a good sign.
Yeah.
But that might have been just some racist bullshit. They told me, like, yeah, these primates, they just burp all the time, and they're proud. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's difficult to know because we hear rumors about other cultures. Like, yeah, in China, everyone eats, you know, frog eyes. But, you know, yeah. We don't know really if it's true. We hear all these rumors. But in fact, in, you know, in, who knows? But I do have some listeners from Iran. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you know about what happens in Iran, then tell us. Is it normal to slurp your tea in Iran? Or is it okay to burp in whichever country you're in? Yes, and in fact, whichever country you come from, tell us about slurping your tea. Is that normal or is that rude? I've heard that there's a kind of genetic thing.
Really? That,
yeah, some people can't drink tea without slurping it for some sort of genetic reason. Like, you know the way some people can roll their tongue and other people can't?
Yeah.
Some people physically can't drink tea without burning their lips unless they slurp. Yeah.
Well, yeah, it feels colder a little bit when you slurp.
Mm. You bring a bit of air through the tea as it passes over your lips. Yeah, so
it's pretty smart, actually.
Yeah, I think you should slurp.
Yeah, exactly. Monkeys don't slurp. We do because we're, you know, we're smarter than them.
Exactly. It's a sign of evolution. Right, so Pierre.
Yes.
Pierre Gaspard.
Yeah, that's my first name.
So you perform stand-up comedy in English.
I do.
But English is not your first language, is that right?
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. It's my second language.
Okay, so that sort of leads me to my next question. And your English is very good. How did you manage that? Because obviously a lot of my listeners are trying to raise the level of their English. So how did you get your English up to this standard then?
I think I was lucky enough to have a big brother and a big sister that were already watching a lot of TV shows and movies in VO, sous-titré, which is version originale sous-titré, which means in English with subtitles in French.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were listening to, like, my sister was a big fan of Madonna. Mm-hmm. So I had English all around my head, but I think everybody does. Mm-hmm. I was good at school in English. It's a pretty easy language to learn.
You think so?
Yeah, because next to that, I was also learning German for 8 years. Actually, German was the first language that I started to learn at school. For 8 years, I studied it.
Really?
Yeah, never happened for me. I couldn't ever be... I was never able to speak even in a basic level of German.
Really? What, it just didn't click. It just didn't work.
I don't like German. It's okay. Ach ja, gut. Wo bist du, Peter, Luke? You know,
So you just didn't take to it. I mean, I've got friends in London who speak, you know, German. They love speaking German, you know, and they're all like very good. And it's maybe just because they enjoyed speaking the language. But in your case, you just didn't take to speaking German. But you just sort of... You took to English. You kind of, it, for some reason, it just appealed to you, right?
Well, I think it's way simpler to master the basis of English. Mm-hmm. Like you can word 100 words and be an executive at a big American firm, in my opinion. Okay.
Yeah, or but, president.
Or president, exactly, yes. But I don't know. German was not as appealing, and you just. You bathe in English language all the time in France, in every occidental country. I mean, you have all the movies that are working are American, all the music. Now we have French singers that perform in English. So more and more titles for the movies are not translated anymore. So all the movies, the science fiction movies you see in 100 years, everybody's going to speak English. It's going to be the world language. Of course, it is going to be the world language.
Because so?
Because I think it's one of the easiest language to learn. And for a French people, also very easy to learn is the Italian, because it really sounds like French. Like you can basically speak Italian, just adds O and A's at the end of each of your words.
Yeah,
and it works, really. Like, it's almost a joke. Like, when you listen to Italian TV, like, it's not, it's a joke. It's just like French with O's at the end. It's ridiculous. But so to answer your question, I was good in English at school. I used to watch a lot of movies, and I participated in the big explosion of illegal download for TV shows.
Oh, really?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'll go to jail one day.
You're a pirate.
I'm a pirate, but I guess everyone is. So I watched a lot of TV shows, so that helps getting the expressions. A good thing to learn English is also to watch a DVD in English with subtitles in English.
Yeah.
It helps you to identify some of the words. It took me a long time to know that the word schedule was actually schedule, because to me it didn't sound like it looked like, you know, the word. But so that helps. And of course, I did spend a year and a half in Vancouver, Canada.
Ah.
Not in the States, it was in Canada.
Canada, okay, yeah. I see. I can hear a sort of American hint in your accent, so I wasn't sure if that was Canadian or American. In fact, for me, I find it difficult to identify whether someone is Canadian or American. I mean, some things give it away, like the way the Canadians pronounce the sort of O sounds sometimes, like, you know, famously the way they say the word about. Some people say they say a boot, or some people say they say a boat, or something like that. What do they say?
Well, I don't know if it's because it's the first English-speaking country that I've lived in, but I don't hear the Canadian accent. Or maybe it was because I was in Vancouver, and that's like a city where a lot of people are going from there to the States, because it's so close.
Yeah.
But I never heard anyone say a boot except on the South Park episode with the Canadians guy. I never heard any Canadian guy say a boot. Maybe in the middle, like in Calgary or Edmonton, when there's not much, people will say a boot, but I didn't.
Never
see
heard
that.
That.
Yeah, never heard that.
Right. Well, yeah, it's true. I can't recognize the Canadian accent. So I don't know. I'm sure I have listeners in Canada. I have listeners everywhere, especially in, you know. So, yes, but in Canada, there are some people who listen to this, believe it or not. And so, if you're in Canada, tell us what is the Canadian accent? How is it different to American accents?
You should probably ask the Americans, really.
Yeah?
Because maybe the Canadians will not be aware of their own accent.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, I'll next time I see Sarah or Sebastian, I'll ask them. These are American people that we know here in Paris. It's great being in Paris, because I meet more American people than I normally do in London.
In London,
for some reason, I think maybe when they're in London, they sort of keep their voice down. I don't know why.
Well, because to the British average people, Americans are just like so vulgar, I think.
I think this is what Americans are afraid of.
Although,
to an extent, sort of British people are quite snobbish about Americans. And I don't like that. I think that's really unfair. But I guess also that Americans are a little bit afraid of opening their mouths in England, because they sense that perhaps British people are maybe a bit condescending or a bit sort of judgmental about American English or something. I don't know. And I think Americans sometimes have a view of the English as if they're very snobbish and sort of, oh, you're American, are you? You know, stop murdering our language, that kind of thing. But I don't know. I personally don't mind it. I like meeting Americans. I like American English. We'll come back to that, I think. We'll come back to the sort of British and American stuff in a little bit. You mentioned how here you kind of embraced English, but is that true in France? Has that always been true, that people in this country have always really embraced the learning of English?
Well, it was my opinion for a really long time, because people around me speak English, at least can make themselves understand. But then I started to work, and especially in Paris, and people have told me that it's like a really big advantage to be speaking English. Because actually a lot of people don't speak English. They will understand, because we're all watching the same movies, and so you learn after a while, even when you don't really try.
Mm.
But people that really can express themselves in a good English fluently are actually not that... there's not that much of them.
Yeah. Well, then, so... But, I mean, in France, there's maybe a stereotype that... for example, people told me before I came to Paris that, you know, they said, oh, in Paris they don't speak English. In fact, if you speak to them in English, they refuse to respond. I haven't noticed that much.
Well, it's because we're assholes. We understand what you're saying. We're just like, no, we don't want friends with you.
Really?
I don't know. I think maybe they're embarrassed because they don't master the language. It's true. Before I talked really good English, it was a little embarrassing to answer someone in the street, even though I could answer them. But when I was with friends, it was like forcing a French accent, not to look like the asshole that can do the American accent. So I was someone, like, yes, you were looking for this street. Yes, it's there next on the right. I was forcing bad English on myself, so I didn't look like a douchebag. With my friends. But so yeah, it's maybe this phenomenon that's happening, I'm guessing.
So it's just shyness, it's just a sense of shyness coming through as maybe a sort of indifference, and that's misunderstood by people as being kind of an arrogance, but it's really because people are shy.
There is this, and also even if you ask someone in French, they might not answer you, because I don't know. It's true. A lot of people are stressed out in Paris. It's true. It's a big cliche, but it's a beautiful city that doesn't get enough sun, so people are not as happy as they should be.
Yeah.
And so when you're trapped in a all work situation, you can't wait to get to work because you have too much work. You can't wait to get home because you just want to, you know, sit down and then rest for a while. So when people are bothering you in this situation, it's you don't want to.
Yeah, just like
exactly.
Yeah, and you just need to get to work. Yeah, it's like that in London. I mean, in London, you kind of start apologising, like, "Oh, sorry," and then you know, because you don't want to offend them. You don't want to say, "Oh, just go away, I'm late for work." Instead, you have to go, and you get all this awkwardness because, you know, you don't want to cause offence. It's interesting the way different cultures respond to those stressful situations differently. In Japan, I mean, that I found people were often very, very nervous and shy. I lived in Japan.
Okay.
People were very nervous and shy about speaking English. And several times, I mean, to be honest, I should have spoken Japanese. And it's the same in France here. So, first of all, I think I should speak French first. So I don't expect, you know, Parisians to speak French to me because... You know, I don't expect Parisians to speak English to me because, you know, I should be speaking French to them. So I don't have a problem with what people say about, you know, Parisians not wanting to speak English, because this is France, right? But anyway, going back to Japan, I would find people were really shy about speaking English to the point where they would run away from me. So I remember one particular situation. I was trying to get money from a cash point. And for some reason I couldn't get money, and I needed help just understanding which button to press to withdraw the money, right?
Okay.
So I asked this businessman, Japanese company man, and I said, you know, sumimasen, can you help me? I want money. I want money. Which button? And he was like, like in real pain, you know. Like that. And he kind of helped me. He came to the cash point with me. And this was in the bank. He came in. And then I noticed a member of staff on the other side. And I looked at her to try and get her attention. I turned away from the man. and to get her attention, when I turned back, he was running out of the door. So I was like, wait, come back, what about my money? Yeah, he just escaped.
But so do you think it was because he didn't want to help you, because he didn't really understand what you were saying? Yeah. Or
I think he was just two things. One, he was probably very busy, he needed to get to work, and secondly, he was just, he didn't want to embarrass me, he didn't want to be embarrassed because he couldn't help me. So it's just deeply embarrassing. He didn't want me to lose face. I don't mind, you know. All he needed to do was just go, ah, no, and then just leave. Just to give me a reason, but he just left. You know, it's like when a, you know, it's like when a girl leaves you and doesn't tell you why. You just left there going, but why? I'd never know why. That's how I'm still suffering from this rejection.
Yeah, but that's terrible. What if she tells you why? What if she tells you I don't like your I don't know, your eyes, or you have a weird face? How are you going to live with that for the rest of your life?
That's true. That's true. But if she doesn't tell you, then you're going to imagine all the reasons. You're going to have those nights when you can't sleep, and it's like, is it because I've got like one leg shorter than the other? Or?
Yeah, but then you're going to try to make yourself as a whole better.
True.
Because if she just said, well, you have a bad accent, you smell from the mouth, or you have a weird shaped penis, I don't know. You're going to be focused on this point, and then it's going to be like, oh, everybody can see that I have a weird shaped penis. You know, it's terrible. So it's better that she just says nothing, and, you know.
So and also the company man in Japan, it's better that he just said nothing, because he could have said, I don't want to help you because you've got bad breath, or you have a weird shaped penis, then maybe I would have been more upset.
Yeah, or maybe his grandfather had been killed by a British guy during the World War II, and he's like, no, I can't help a British guy. I don't know. And then you're like, fuck, grandpa, why did you do that to me? I don't know.
It's complicated.
Yeah, who knows what was happening in his head.
Okay. Let's talk about your comedy. Your show, it's raining. It's raining, ladies and gentlemen. You might hear some noise.
That's great.
It's raining. It's real atmospheric noise.
It's really British atmospheric noise now.
We've got biscuits, we've got tea, we've got rain.
I wouldn't mind having a little more
tea. There is some more left in the teapot. It's maybe a bit strong.
It's okay.
It's all right?
Thanks. So I'm taking over Luke's English podcast now that he's reaching for tea. Oh, all right, thanks. That was short. Yep.
There's not much left.
It's okay.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, a little tea break. I hope you're drinking tea as well while you're listening to this, ladies and gentlemen. I do recommend that.
Yes, you should. Green tea especially. It's very good for you.
Yes, that's right. It's full of antioxidants.
Absolutely.
Which are very good at killing, I think they're called free radicals, which are sort of, I don't know, particles that are in your system. They come from smoke, pollution, other things. These are free radicals, which can be very damaging to your body. So you should drink green tea.
Yes.
So the antioxidants can kill the free radicals. There you go.
Is such a great joke to make with the antioxidant and the free radicals, but I don't have it yet.
Antioxidants, free radicals. There is a joke there somewhere.
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to work on that.
Please, people that are listening, try to find that joke and send it to us so we can make money out of you.
Exactly, yes. Okay. So, your show is called No Shame.
Yeah.
Now, why is it called No Shame, Ben?
Because it features some jokes that are, I don't know, like poop jokes and
poop jokes,
masturbation jokes, and jokes about myself that I tell without being ashamed. It's actually a little homage to Louis C.K. He had a show called Shameless.
Oh yeah,
which kind of means the same thing.
Yeah.
And
well, let me just stop you there, because Louis C.K. Maybe the listeners to this podcast don't know who he is, but Louis C.K. is probably now like the number one stand-up comedian in the world. Everyone's talking about him because he's kind of he's got his own TV show. He's brilliant. I mean, he's very, very funny, and he's shameless because he says some very, what would normally be very, very embarrassing things about his personal life, about his family, about his body, and things like that. So you're kind of influenced by Louis C.K., are you?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. He's I don't know, his ability to just say shit and tell us like stories that we imagine are real and are probably very real. That's what makes them so funny, and it just you know makes it funnier. I mean, yeah. And he has also very clever jokes. Like his entire bit about the offensive words is a very 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 funny and clever joke of his. And yes, and he's now very successful, of course. I won't pretend that I have been listening to him since 20 years, because I haven't. I discovered him, he was already pretty big. But yes, he's been the biggest influence for me. It's just, he makes stand-up comedy easier, the same way that Zinedine Zidane made football look easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree that Louis C.K. makes comedy look easy. I remember when I first saw him perform, and you know, people were telling me, "Oh, have you seen Louis C.K.? He's brilliant." And I saw his first one of his shows. I don't remember which one, and I thought, "Hey, he's not really doing anything special. It looks pretty easy." But then later on, I realised after I watched more and I really examined it, I realised no, this is really clever because he genuinely is making it look easy. It's his style.
Yeah.
His style is that. Basically, he talks to the audience and tells them things which makes it look like his life is a complete disaster, his life is a total mess. Sometimes it's very dark, and it looks like he's just sort of falling apart, nearly having a nervous breakdown. But it's very, very, very funny, and it's very difficult to be that open on stage and to be, to be that shameless. And for it to be really, really funny every time. I think he's brilliant. I'm going to make a note of Louis C.K. here, and then I'm going to post like a video of Louis C.K. on the website so that my listeners can have a look. Do you have any other comedians who you really love, who influenced you?
Yeah, I have Doug Stanhope.
Doug Stanhope, wow, yeah. I've seen Doug Stanhope perform a few times in
really?
London. Yeah,
in real life?
In real life. I've seen him two or three times in London. He comes to London quite a lot.
That's awesome.
Doug Stanhope is probably the most shameless comedian I've ever seen.
It's a different style. He's really like radical about a lot of subjects, like I don't know, abortions. He says like the biggest polluant thing in the world is us having babies and stuff like that. He's very strong-willed about that.
Yeah,
and it's more. Really dirty stories that he says, but
I think Doug Stanhope's material is some of the rudest material I've ever heard. But it's not the most offensive, because it's very rude, but he manages to present his material as really. It's just his own personal opinion. He doesn't really make judgments about people who are weaker than him. He's really making fun of himself.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He makes fun of how his life is. What I find offensive is when comedians or anyone else point at people who are weaker than us or whatever and make fun of them. That's offensive. But people like Louis C.K., Doug Stanhope, and yourself manage to... So make fun of themselves, and it may be rude, but it doesn't matter, because essentially you're the one who's the subject of the joke. So
that's an essential point for these two comedians, that when they always the starting point is that they're bad people. They say they're bad people because they do bad things, and but then they use this starting point to make jokes about other things, and it always works. And Doug Stanhope is more trashy. It's true. His jokes are more dirty, but I took from him as well, because I listened to him a lot. And yes, I'd say the darkest part of my jokes maybe come from him. Yeah. Even though I used to have a bit about Alzheimer's, but I don't do it anymore.
Okay. All right. I think people should come and see your show if they want to know about these dark things about that you say about yourself and so on. Then do come and see Pierre's show. It's very entertaining, and it's shocking, and it's a real surprise. It's full of surprises. No shame. Café Panam.
Le Panam, yes.
Le Panam. I'll put a link on the site so that you can find out all the details. Is it hard to perform stand-up comedy in a second language? Because I do it in my first language, and I get very nervous beforehand, and you know, even on stage, you know, my language falls to pieces. You've seen it happen. You know, I often just don't know what I'm saying. I can't imagine doing stand-up in French, although I'd like to. What's it like doing stand-up in English?
Well, first of all, it's easier in some ways and harder in others. It's easier in the way that it's not really you on stage. It's another guy speaking another language. Mm. So it's a protection for me. It's like it's a character. All the stories I tell are true, but because I'm telling them in another language, it doesn't. There's less pressure that comes with it. Of course, when I first started, I was afraid. Of course, but I know that if tomorrow I start doing bits in French, I would be just as afraid as I was when I started doing it in English.
Yeah,
it protects you because it's a different language. At the end, you can just start talking your first language and be like, yeah, that wasn't me on stage; it was some other guy. Mm. So that makes it easier in this way. When you're performing stand-up, you do a lot of interaction with the audience, and it's always good because it makes them feel like they're a part of the show. You don't necessarily pick on them; you just talk to them, learn where they're from, and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to have little improv jokes with the audience, and that is harder to do, of course, in a second language.
Yeah,
yeah, that is harder because. I talked about it with Sebastian Marx, who used to have a show in French as well. He does a show in English, but he used to do it in French as well.
He's American, right?
Yeah, he's American, absolutely. And yeah. we agreed that when you have a show in another language, you have rails in front of you that you need to follow all the way through to your show. If you deviate, you have more chance forgetting where you were, or you can really improv in another language. Mm. Even though that was true for me for a while, but now that I'm performing every week, it's getting easier to improv.
Improv? What's that? I'm eating a biscuit.
No problem. Improvise. Like someone in the audience tells you where they're from, and then you think suddenly about something funny that you can say about where they're from, and that's. Mm. That makes your show look alive, like you're not just reciting something that you've learned by heart. It makes people laugh. It's refreshing. It's very, very important, I think.
It's like one of the most difficult things to do is to respond directly to something the audience member has said and make it funny. I find that always a challenge.
I do too, but there are classes for that. There are improv classes all over the world, and the best class is to just, you know, perform on stage and interact with the people every time you can, and it gets easier, of course, after a while.
Okay, all right, interesting. Okay, so to an extent, it's a question of practice, isn't it? Like the more you practice, the more confident you get. It's the same with just generally improving your English, I would say.
Yeah.
Just practice. It's a question of also finding opportunities to practice, though, isn't it? So I have mentioned that, in fact, in the last episode, I mentioned that people listening to this should try and find stand-up comedy in English near where they are. Now, I know that there won't be stand-up everywhere, but in certain places, a lot of big cities now have a lot of English-speaking people living there, and so they can try and find the stand-up comedy in English shows which are going on. There's websites like meetup.com.
Yeah.
And if you sign up to meetup.com, you can join different groups where people gather and socialize. That can be a good way to meet.
Meetup is a really very, very efficient way to do that. It works with groups. You sign up on a group. It's free, of course. And there is a group for everything. In Paris, you have like American expats, Canadian expats. You have Paris stand-up comedy in English groups. So you sign up, you get the newsletter with whatever is happening. And usually these groups are managed by an organizer that sets up, like in France, you have a lot of wine tasting, movie going. And it's very good. It exists all over the world. So yeah, meetup.com is a very important part of expat life all over the world.
So you can go on meetup.com, meet some people, speak English, practice. Is performing in French and performing in English different? I mean, you said how the experience is different, but is one language funnier or less funny than the other?
I don't think in general it is, but I came to stand-up comedy with American stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And I was aware of French stand-up comedy before, and I wasn't really a big fan of it, but because maybe I didn't know too much about it.
Mm-hmm.
But so for the jokes, for my humor, I would laugh more at jokes in English. It's true that the humor is slightly different, apart from the fact that, for example, Americans enjoy more poop jokes than French people. It's true. You can you can see that, because even in the English open mics in Paris, when you can tell when there is a lot of French people in the audience that they won't laugh as hard as an American audience would listening to poop jokes.
Yeah, they like the disgusting toilet humor.
Yeah, which is fine. Everybody, here we like some politics humor. Everybody has their kind of humor. I don't think there is one language that's funnier than the other,
mm-hmm.
but it's a different humor for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're coming from the sort of American side of things. Can I ask you, actually, how did you start performing stand-up comedy? How did it begin for you?
Well, I moved to Paris. I was in Marseille before, and I moved to Paris on January 2011. So it's not so long ago.
Yeah, yeah.
I came here to take some theater classes at Cours Jean Laurent Cochet, which is a very good class.
So you're an actor as well, then? Yeah.
They always say that you should say you're an actor, even though you haven't performed in anything yet, anything major.
Well, except Batman, of course.
Except Batman, yeah. The three little movies that I did. But yeah, I'm an actor.
Yeah.
I'm an actor.
It feels good to...
Method actor, really.
Yeah?
Yeah. No, but yeah, that's the goal. That's the end goal, is to be in movies, of course.
Well, I can see the actor coming through in your stand-up, because you do... Sometimes you, like, parts of your show, you do little scenarios where you perform both parts. And I can see it's very good. It's one of my favorite parts of the show is when you're being two people at the same time, and you can see the attitude change on your face. I like that. Yeah, so I can see the acting coming through. But so what was it that got you onto a stage with a microphone in your hand?
Well, okay, so I took some classes for a while, and then I realized that I wasn't really into classical theater classes. I when I was in Vancouver, I took some acting classes at the Actors Foundry, which was run by Matthew Harrison. If anybody is listening to this in Vancouver, take his class. You can just go and audit this. It's the best acting class I've ever seen. Matthew Harrison, and the school is called the Actors Foundry.
Okay.
And it's very good, and it's been growing and growing in the city for a few years now. A lot of people went through this school and are going to be huge actors in the future. Yeah. I'm sure about it. Right. And at this Jean Laurent Cochet cours, I found some of the elements that made me like acting, like looking for an emotional trigger in a part, decomposing the part, the scene. But I was kind of bored with the old classical theater thing. It's just I didn't get many pleasure out of it. So I was in a big reflection period of my life for a couple of months, and then a friend of mine from Vancouver, actually Daniel Ryan Spalding.
Daniel Ryan Spalding.
Yeah.
Yes, I know him.
He's a Canadian comic that has been touring all over the world, and especially Europe. He's now in Scandinavia in Norway.
Yeah.
And we met in 2007 when I was in Vancouver, and he was about to perform in Paris to do a one-hour show. So he asked me if he could stay at my place for a while. So I said, yeah. And we talked for a while. And I was at that time starting to consider maybe performing stand-up comedy. I was thinking about it. And at the same time, so he came around and we talked about it. And he told me, well, I'll be back in a couple of months. And if you want, you can open for me in English, if you're fine with that.
Open for you, that means that you can perform 5 minutes at the beginning of his show.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, yes, you need a deadline. So I wrote a bit about Marseille. It wasn't very strong at that time. I recorded it, so I'm not really proud when I look at it, but it was the first time.
Yeah.
And what I did was I first wrote it in French and then I translated it in English, and I did that, and it was fun. I really enjoyed doing that, and then after that I just started to perform more and more in open mics, showcases like the New York Comedy Night that's hosted by Sebastian Marx. I performed there. Mm-hmm. And then it was just better and better in not my performance, but the feeling that I got, it was really good. It was way better to perform 10 minutes of stand-up comedy and sometimes make people laugh. Of course, sometimes they didn't laugh and it was horrible, but 10 minutes of people laughing was like the light of my week, really. It was really, really good. And so that's the kind of moments where you're like, okay, I don't give a shit if I don't make money out of that right now. Yeah. I don't care. I just want to enjoy this. It's really good. I have always enjoyed making people laugh. It's true. Like a lot of people in the world, two people out of five have already been told you should be a comic. You make people laugh. It's true. And if you feel like it, you should try, really. If you like to make jokes, if you particularly enjoy the feeling of having someone smile because of some shit that you said, then you should really try to do stand-up comedy, because mm-hmm. It's really something that's hard to describe. It's really a pleasure that flows inside of you for a few minutes, and it's just very euphoric.
Yeah, it's euphoric. Yeah.
Euphoric, yeah, yeah.
Particularly afterwards, you just feel brilliant. It's better than drugs. Not that I would know.
I don't do drugs.
You don't?
Really?
Yeah, that's very wise.
But yeah, it is very pleasant, and after doing that a couple of times, I was like, okay, I want to do this. I already had a job at that time. I was working in a clothing store. So I'm like, okay, I want to do this. I want to do this regularly. I want to get better. And I opened for Daniel a couple of times. Every time he was back in Paris, I did. Mm-hmm. And I opened for him when he was performing his show at the Théâtre La Cible in Pigalle. Mm-hmm. And once. And I met the director of the theatre at that time, Grégoire Granier. Mm-hmm. And he was preparing his summer schedule for the theater, and he asked me, well, if you want to do one date in the summer in English, feel free to do it. It's okay. So that was in April. I had maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes of material by that time. And I was like, okay, let's do this. Yes, I'll prepare this for the end of July. My first one-hour show was on July 24th, 2012. Mm-hmm. And I did it at La Cible, and it felt great. And after that, I performed once a month, and until December. And now it's once a week. Yeah. So yeah,
great. Well, I'm very much looking forward to opening your show. Actually, not this coming Saturday, but the next one.
Yeah.
I don't know the date of that. Do you know off the top of your head?
No, I don't know off the top of my head. I look on my calendar. It's not on the 20th. It's on the 27th.
27th? Really?
No, it's on the 20th.
Yeah, you sure?
It's not this Saturday, it's the Saturday after that, 20th.
Hold on.
Because you have an Android phone, it's better than my iPhone, is that it?
No, it's just that I think I might have... what was I going to say? I might have mixed up my dates, but I'll get back to you. I'm an idiot, because...
It's,
you know.
Okay. Well, just know that this Saturday, Seb's opening for me.
Yeah.
And on the 27th, it's Cornelio.
Okay.
So, you know.
I think I might have screwed up my dates. I know I'm in London one weekend this
really?
Month.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
okay.
Oh, dear.
We'll find a date.
I'm terribly disorganized. I'm sorry. Anyway, you can find out all the details of Pierre Gaspard's show, No Shame, here in Paris. If you're coming through the city, if you live in France, if you live in Paris, I do recommend that you come and see the show. If you like the sort of slightly rude, slightly risque humour, then come and see the show. You know, it's very good. And you can also check out other shows which are happening here in Paris too. And you'll see the details for those on the website. And as I've said before, check out meetup.com or check out other possible ways that you can find other English-speaking people in your local area, and you might find some English stand-up going on there. Otherwise, YouTube is amazing these days, because you can get everything on YouTube. There's loads of stand-up comedy available there.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to post a video of Louis C.K. and maybe Doug Stanhope as well, and we'll you can check them out. Now, Yesterday, I saw Pierre at a gig. We did a stand-up gig together, and as I was leaving, Pierre suddenly said to me, "What did you say? Have a good night.
Have a good night. Yeah."
This English accent. This English accent came out.
I did better yesterday. I don't know. I'll try better.
So let's see. Okay. So I would say that you've got a kind of Canadian accent, right?
Okay.
But I'm going to try and get you to speak like a British person.
Okay.
Now, my listeners to this podcast, I think that they enjoy the stuff about accents, particularly the British accent. That's part of the reason they listen to it, because they like to listen to the Queen's English. of course, there are lots and lots of different accents in the UK. There's loads of different regional accents.
I think you're missing the most important point of why people love to listen to a British accent, is because it makes them horny.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Really?
To make you horny, Pierre, a little bit?
Well, not from you. But I think the British accent in a woman's wife is it's very sexy.
Yeah, you know when Angelina Jolie is in Tomb Raider,
yeah,
when she speaks with that English accent in Tomb Raider, oh yeah, I do get a little bit excited.
Yeah, so that does it for you too, even though you're British.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, first of all, it's Angelina Jolie.
Yeah,
but yeah, I do like certain English accents.
Speaking an Indian accent, it would be great as well.
I think that would be good too. Yeah, I don't care what accent she has, to be honest. I think if it's Angelina Jolie, then I'm going to be interested. People say that, you know, in America, they apparently women like it if you've got an English accent, because they find it's a turn on.
Yeah.
Yeah? Really?
Yeah.
Maybe I should go to... What am I doing in France, Pierre?
I don't know.
Maybe I should go to America.
I'm sure it works in France as well. Yeah. We have this image of... dapper, sophisticated British. It's really funny because when I was in Canada, I didn't have that much of a thick French accent. I never had a French accent, really. Mm. And I should have, though, because apparently it makes girls even crazier in the US and in Canada when you have a French accent. And it's funny because when I first got there, I talked to a girl. She was there was a lot of Indian people in Vancouver.
Yeah.
And she told me, "Well, your French accent will get you laid, but like my brother is Indian, and that doesn't work at all. And he's very sad about that. He has this Indian accent, and it's really bad." And I'm like, "Well, okay, well," but I never took advantage of that accent, though.
All right.
But I it's funny because French accent make girls crazy in some place, and you know British accent makes me crazy sometimes. I don't know, it's
well, okay. Well, let's see if we can teach you how to speak with a British accent.
All right,
okay.
Let's do that.
Now, what I've got here is a list of sentences.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm just going to need to move the biscuits out of the way so we can both see the sentences. Now I've got some sentences that I wrote. I use these sometimes at school when I'm just sort of having fun and playing around with accents with my students. Now, I've got 10 sentences. Now, I wrote these as a way of either practicing speaking like an American or, I don't know, Canadian, they're kind of similar, or speaking with a British accent. So let's start with sentence number one, and this is, "Could I have a glass of water, please? Could I have a glass of water, please?" So, first of all, can you just say it in your normal voice and then do...
All right. See if you... Could I have a glass of water, please?
So, okay, it's interesting you said water.
Water.
Water. Could I have a glass of water, please? But in an English accent, could I have a glass of water, please? Go ahead.
Excuse me, could I have a glass of water, please?
Very good, yes. Notice the R in glass and...
Glass of water.
Definitely a T sound in water. But the R sound at the end of water isn't pronounced, so it's not water like in the States, for example. But water.
Could I have a glass of water, please?
Glass.
But I don't have the noisy voice that you need when you.
I don't think it's a nasal accent. I don't think in Britain. Maybe it is, but as far as I'm aware, it's less nasal than American. Like some Americans, not all of them, or some North Americans, can have a nasal. Like,
yeah,
can I get a glass of water, please?
Yeah.
You know, but in Britain, we tend to place the accent not so much in the nose. Can I have a glass of water, please?
Could I have a glass of water, please?
Okay, yes. That's very nice. Yeah. Okay, the next sentence I wrote because I thought it would be good for an American accent. So that is, oh my God, like, oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now. Okay, but in a, with an English accent, that would be, oh my God. Oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now.
Oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now.
I really want a hot dog.
Oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now.
Oh my God, I really want a hot dog.
Oh my God, I really... I really want a hot dog right now.
Yeah, that, I mean, right now you kind of went American. To be honest, I'm doing a sort of cliched, slightly posh accent, but I think with that sort of British accent, which is, I think, a slightly posh sort of standard British sort of BBC English kind of accent.
We all know you're
which is BBC. Which is
oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now.
That's the news. Oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now. That would be on the BBC. But I think that kind of British accent, we tend to round some of our vowel sounds, like I really oh my God, you know,
oh my God, I really want
to. Really want.
I really want a hot dog right now.
Okay.
It's just too American a sentence for me.
It's definitely very American. Oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now. Go on.
Oh my God, I really want a hot dog right now.
Yeah, exactly. Very nasal. Oh my God, totally nasal. I don't think all Americans have that nasal voice, but it's fun. Let's see. Okay, number six. Let's have number six here, which is, could I have a portion of chips with that, please? So, could I have a portion of chips with that, please? Note that in the UK we say chips, we don't say fries, in, as they do in America. Could I have a portion of chips with that, please?
Could I have a portion of chips with that, please?
Okay, that,
yes. Could I have a portion of chips with that, please?
Okay, yeah, pretty good. I think with that, if you really want to emphasize it, you need to do the t at the end of that. So in America or in North America, they probably soften the T a little bit, so it ends up being with that.
But
if you want to emphasize the British accent, you have to go with that, please.
Could I have a portion of chips with that, please? That, please.
It's not really aggressive. It's just that there's a clipped kind of t. That's why it sounds proper. If you imagine like the sound of like teacups.
Yes.
That. I don't know. That. If it's, yeah.
I don't know, it's that kind that of, sound is very English. You know, it's that. Tink.
Do you want to have another go?
Of course. Good Lord. They are terribly well behaved, aren't they?
Yeah. That's a very posh one. Good Lord. Good Lord. That's like, oh my God. Good Lord.
Good Lord.
Yeah. They're terribly well behaved, aren't they?
They're terribly well behaved, aren't they?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Do you want to know how to say, in a very posh accent, do you want to know how to say hello in a very, very posh voice?
Hello. Well, okay, yeah. Yeah,
well, it's let's say it's oh hello. Oh hello, like that, but you have to go eh hello. Eh hello.
Really?
Yep.
Eh hello.
Exactly. Eh hello. Oh,
it's so annoying though.
It's horrible.
Oh hello. It's like
eh hello.
Eh hello. It's like you're saying fuck you and hello at the same time.
It's,
oh it's, hello. I hate
it's,
you.
It's really horrible. Those are sort of like really sort of sickeningly posh.
And it's like the mother-in-law English. Welcoming you. She's unlike you. Like,
but just like super posh mother-in-law who's looking down on you because you're lower class. Hello. Would you mind awfully removing your shoes?
Yeah.
It's just that they're terribly filthy. You know, I've just had a new leather carpet. I don't know, leather carpet.
What kind of mother-in-law is that?
I've just had a new golden carpet installed. I don't want your disgusting shoes all over them.
I like the leather
leather carpet.
What's better, yeah, like kind of the SM mother-in-law. Oh, I had the leather carpet installed. Don't get undressed, you little shit. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay, so, good Lord, they're terribly well-behaved. How about... okay, let's see. Okay, so I'll see you later then, shall I?
Was it your accent again?
Yeah, okay, then I'll see you later then, shall I?
Okay, then I'll see you later then, shall I?
Not later.
Yeah, I know,
later.
I know, it's just simpler.
Later.
Okay, I'll see you later then, shall I?
Yeah, I'll see you
but
later.
I feel like I have to do this smug face when I'm talking in this accent. People cannot see it, but all the way I'm having this smug face like, okay, well, I'll see you later, shall I? You should take a picture. Yeah. You know? You can just make noise and people will understand what you're saying. Yeah. Like, shall I?
Is that that's the attitude? You're not worthy of licking the shit off my boots, are you?
Maybe exactly. That's
all right, well, that may be a kind of a posh voice, but there are other accents in the UK. I don't know how long we've been going for now.
58 minutes and 24 seconds.
All right, okay. Well, it's normally about an hour on these episodes, so that's fine. Right, some regional accents from the UK. We've so far been doing a sort of posh Queen's English kind of thing, but there are many different regional accents. For example, Geordie from Newcastle in the northeast.
Newcastle.
Yeah. Yes. Northern Ireland, Belfast or something. In the UK. Not in Britain.
Not in Britain, exactly.
Scouse from Liverpool. Manchester. Cockney.
Oh, what is the Manchester accent?
All right, yeah, like that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm fucking mad for it. You know what I mean? Like that.
Okay,
like a dead monk and all that.
All right, okay, yesterday there was this girl at the French Fried Comedy, and she's going to be performing at the all-night French Fried Comedy.
Yeah.
Her name is Olivia.
Uh-huh.
And she has this really posh accent.
Yeah.
But she's from Manchester.
She really
doesn't have the Manchester accent. So if I could master this Manchester accent and, you know, throw it at her face, that would make me really laugh.
I think, Olivia's... she's got a sort of regional accent, but it's also rather sort of it sounds very nice, very well spoken. I mean, obviously, even in Manchester, you have many different types of Manchester accent, and you have different characters and so on. The Manchester accent that I always end up doing is a kind of Liam Gallagher, kind of Noel Gallagher from Oasis kind of thing. Yeah, from Oasis, aren't I? You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing. Yeah, we're mad for it. Like that. Okay, I'll try and teach you how to speak like Liam Gallagher, maybe.
Okay, which is funny because in their song, they don't... You can... It's not that thick.
No, they do. In some... what is it? When they say... This, when the sun might shine, they go, shine. Like, slide away. Like
that. It's true, they do it, yeah.
Yeah. They throw a bit of Mancunian in there.
Champagne supernova.
Yeah, exactly. In a champagne supernova in the sky.
Supernova. What's that? Is it
supernova? We're in Oasis. You know. Okay. So, right. The sentence that we're going to do is, all right, how's it going? I'm from Manchester, aren't I? I'm mad for it. So I'm mad for it means I'm really excited and I'm going to have a party. Okay.
Well, you're excited about being from Manchester.
Yeah, or just generally excited about being from Manchester.
So it's like a science fiction.
Yeah, maybe.
I've been to Manchester, you know.
Yeah.
It's red.
It's red.
Yeah, a lot of bricks.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yes, it is. Anyway. Let's imagine that you're a rock star from Manchester, okay?
Yeah. Going,
all right, how's it going? All right.
How's it going?
All right.
I'm from all right.
So the T in all right is not pronounced at all.
Okay.
So all right. All right.
How's it going?
Not how.
The problem with how's it going is that you think about Joey from Friends.
Oh, that's how you're doing. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's true. Sorry about that.
How's it going?
How? So you don't pronounce the H either.
No, H.
No T, no H.
And there's no G at the end of going, so okay. It's going. How's it going?
All right. How's it going?
How's it going?
How's it going?
All right, our kid.
Our kid.
Our kid means our kid. So it's a bit like if it's a younger person in your family. All right, our kid, how's it going? Hello. It's like saying, you'd say our kid to a young person in your family, your younger brother. Yeah. All right, our kid, how's it going?
All right. All right, our kid, how's it going?
How's it going? It's very nasal. How's it going?
All right. All right, our kid, how's it going?
Okay. I find to do a Manchester accent, I have to keep my mouth like that, in that shape like that all the time. Don't move your mouth at all.
Like very dry mouth.
Very dry, sort of like
Damian Lewis mouth. Exactly. From Homeland.
Exactly. Keep your mouth like that in a sort of circle like that.
All right, how's it going? All right, our kid, how's it going?
Okay, you sound a bit like a gangster from New York.
Yeah, all right, exactly.
How's it going?
Exactly, that's in my head. It's like, all right, how's it going?
Okay.
I'm from Manchester.
If you're from Manchester, you sort of do this like that. You got to roll, you roll around like that. You're sort of bouncing around all and right. that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're a tough guy from Manchester.
No, you're not a tough guy. You're on LSD, man, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm tripping, mate, you know what I mean? I'm tripping me nuts off, I'm mad for it.
Because you have to, because you're from Manchester.
Yeah,
so, yeah, okay.
So like that. Imagine you're from the 1990s. Maybe you're in the Hacienda in a nightclub. What you on? What you on, mate? What you on? Yeah.
You said the 90s.
1990s. okay, so I'm... All right, I'm from Manchester. Manchester.
Manchester?
Yeah.
I'm from Manchester.
That's it, that's good. I'm from Manchester, aren't I? I'm mad for it.
Oh, yeah. It's actually Joey Barton's accent.
Joey Barton's a football player.
I know. He plays at Marseille. I know all about him.
Right. Yeah, so I come to, like, you know, come to France and all that. It's like dead God. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm mad for it.
Yeah.
You know, I love the red wine and all that. It's like proper God.
Yeah, he has that voice, exactly.
Okay.
Can you say Marseille's the best football club?
Marseille, you know what I mean? It's like the best football club in the world at the moment for me. You know what I mean?
Yes, thank you, Joey. Wow, that's great. We have your record now.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm from Manchester, like that. Like that. Like, if you can like say that. Like that, but it's like that. Like that. Like that. Like that.
Okay. Like that. Who is going to be listening to you and trying to perform their Manchester accent anyway?
Many people. Many, many people around the world.
Well, I have a business trip to Manchester next week, and I really need to work on my Manchester accent to fit in at the meetings with the local union guys. Yeah.
I think if a lot of my listeners just enjoy it, they just enjoy the different accents.
Yeah.
And also, it's, you know, it's interesting to be able to identify the different accents. And,
it's true, yeah.
And also, if you can listen to someone like Joey Barton and you hear him go, yeah, I'm in Marseille, it's like, it's dead God, then, oh, he's from Manchester. And you know more about that person, you know. Like, when you listen to a person, you listen to their accent, it tells you a lot of different things about them.
Especially with the British accent.
Yeah. Yeah, you can know if, you know, what kind of place they're from, what sort of lifestyle they've had.
It's really, in my opinion, you can really tell whether they're like from London or the rest.
Yeah.
Because, to my opinion, to the French guy opinion, London accents, it's music. It's like, yes, it's very, you can already imagine the Queen's Court and, you know, really posh ladies and stuff. But, exactly.
You can imagine Greensleeves. Your Highness the Queen.
Yeah.
You know, like a Shakespearean kind of...
But when you listen to Cockney or Manchester accent, you know that it... it's horrible what I'm going to say, but the image that we have is that it comes from a really poorer region of England.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's true to an extent that a lot of these regional accents or regional dialects are associated with... the working class communities in those places, yeah. But that's not, you know, it's not bad at all, because it's great, it's beautiful. I think I love all of these different dialects. I love all the different cultures, and in the UK we celebrate it. You know, we like it. In fact, these days regional accent is a positive thing, and TV presenters on mainstream Saturday night shows have regional accents. We trust people with regional accents a little more than the sort of person who speaks like this, because then you think, oh, he's university educated,
he's
a bit posh, he's probably conservative. That's what people think about me. They think that I'm a conservative.
Just because of your accent?
Because of the way I speak, yeah. I've got friends in London who are not from London, but they speak English very, very well.
And they say, oh, Luke, you're such a classic English gentleman. And I just think, well, I'm not. It's really not who I am.
It's weird that they would say that being English and all.
They're not English. They may be from other countries like Poland or whatever.
And they
look at me and they look at the way I dress, you know, and they listen to the sound of my voice and they think he's just like a really classic English. He's like Hugh Grant. But even Hugh Grant, they misunderstand him. Because, you know, people thought he was terribly nice and everything, but he's a bad boy, isn't he, really?
Well, everybody is bad, anyways. Everybody has a bad side, but...
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's okay. For the accents, it's... You can tell... You could say the same about France, really, because I come from Marseille, and we have this... this accent in Marseille where we speak kind of like this and when you speak like that to someone, people might tell you, oh yes, I can hear the sun in your voice. But yeah, really, in the general media, on the TV shows and stuff like that, when someone has this accent, this southern accent, whether it's from Marseille or Toulouse, it's not exactly the same, but it's the same kind of music, it will categorize you as a lesser being, as a less smart, a stupider person.
Yeah.
Because you have this accent, because you're not from the big city of Paris. Because really, one thing in common that England and France have is that we have one world city, like London and Paris, and the rest of the country is far from it. Like all the other big cities, they're good, but... Like all the work and all the education, all the main things are in these two cities.
Yeah.
And in France, if you have an accent from another place, then you might be looked at as not as a cool person as you should.
I think in England now, as I said, we like the regional accents. But the thing that will mark you out badly, or the thing that will create a bad impression of you, is not really the accent, but the sort of the way that you use English. So a lot, you know. People still have a bad reaction to hearing mistakes. And I don't mean mistakes of learners of English, because that's a different kind of mistake.
Yeah.
But native English speakers make other mistakes as well, which people, you know, which gives people a very bad impression. So that, I think, is more of a big deal than the accent. And as I said, a lot of TV presenters have this sort of regional accents, but they speak well, they speak really well, but they speak with a hint of a regional accent.
Yeah, you can tell that they have an accent when they speak. Okay,
so you're right for Manchester. Do you want a bit more, or do you want to move on to somewhere else?
Well, I think we should do Cockney, because that's everybody knows that the Cockney accent exists, and maybe they don't know exactly what it is.
Yeah, okay. So Cockney, yeah, I'm a Cockney, you know what I mean? Know what I mean, mate? You know what I mean, geezer? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you understand? You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
Not I mean.
These accents just take letters out of the word. Yeah. Okay, say it again.
Not I mean.
Which means you know
Do
what
you
I mean.
Do you know what I
Do
mean?
Do you know what I mean?
Not I mean.
Not I mean.
Yeah.
Not I mean.
Not I mean.
Not I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean, geezer? I'm a Cockney, yeah? So imagine you've got a cigarette in the corner of your mouth and your elbow. When you take the cigarette from your mouth, your elbow goes up and down like that. You know what I mean? So I'm a bit... You know, imagine, like, here's the situation, all right? So I've got some watches, yeah? I've got some watches here.
In a
bag.
On your wrist.
I've just come into a pub. Yeah, I've got a load of watches. A bit dodgy.
Yeah.
But keep it hush-hush, right?
Yeah,
keep it quiet,
yeah.
I've got some lovely kosher watches, yeah? So keep it quiet, yeah? Keep it on the down low, as they say, now with the youth and all that. Got these lovely watches. Is it your wife's birthday? It's your wife's birthday, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's your wife's birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah?
What is it?
Yeah, next week, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So what do you reckon? What do you reckon to one of these? They're bang on, they are. Bang on, proper.
Bang on?
Proper merchandise, that is. It's proper bang on merchandise, mate.
Bang on.
Bang on, yeah, proper, okay,
proper,
meaning very, you know.
Proper.
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 Proper. Proper.
Proper.
Yeah.
Proper right. Merchandise.
All right, one thing about Cockneys, okay, that they do often omit certain sounds, like the T in letters will not be pronounced, so you get water. Can I have a glass of water?
Okay.
Right?
Water.
Yeah, exactly. A glass of water.
Can I have a glass of water?
Can I have...
Twitter.
Twitter. Yeah, I was reading Twitter. Twitter, exactly. Yeah.
Twitter.
There's other things like the F sound. No, th. You know, like a month.
A month.
The 30th.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't do the th sound. It comes out as a f sound.
A month.
Yeah. 13 months.
13 month?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm back in 13 months.
From your tour around the globe in your sailing...
In my
fishing,
yacht.
Fishing... Yeah, you're not a yacht.
I've got a boat.
So you have a Cockney accent, but you have a boat?
I've got a... No, I haven't got a boat. I've got a boat.
Boat. A boat. That you used to kill deers. Oh no, that's a bow.
Let's see. Certain sounds like the A sound, A like in day, like Monday.
Monday
will come out as I.
I.
So not
Monday.
Yeah, on Monday.
I'm leaving Monday for
13
months on my boat.
Yeah, and you're sounding a bit like a pirate now.
I know.
You know how to do the pirate.
I have a pirate routine.
Do you want to do one more accent? Because I know it's starting to get late. It's your brother's birthday.
I have way enough time. It's just, yeah? You tell me if you.
All right.
I think listeners might have left for my bad accents. Like,
I don't know. I have no idea what my listeners are doing. Are you still there, everyone? You're still there. Don't fall asleep. Wake up. Yeah, it's now been 1 hour and nearly 15 minutes. So I tell you what, we'll do one final accent.
Okay, I'm taking another cookie.
Yeah, you go ahead. Like, you take as many cookies as you like.
I strongly recommend Luke's girlfriend's cookies.
Yeah, they're good.
Oh, yeah.
They're real good.
I'm taking some for my breakfast tomorrow.
Sorry? Sorry, what was that? What did you say? Okay, we've done Manchester. All right, yeah, you know what I mean? I'm from Manchester. All right, our kid, like that, you know what I mean? Carl Pilkington. Do you know Carl Pilkington?
No.
All right, Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Ricky Gervais used to do a podcast with Stephen Merchant, his writing partner, and a guy called Carl Pilkington. And Carl Pilkington he's got a great Manchester accent. One of these days, I'm going to do a podcast with Carl Pilkington. I'm not with him, because I don't know him. But I'm going to steal some audio off the internet and I'll present Carl Pilkington. He's just brilliant. He's hilarious and he's got a very good Manchester accent. So we've done Manchester. We've done a bit of Cockney. Yeah, you know what I mean? Birthday, month. See you on Monday. Yeah. There are other things. I'll come back to the Cockney accent in a later episode. I've done one already before. Listeners, you can find it. But we've got other things. So have a look on the lists, Pierre. What other things you're interested in?
What about the Scotland one?
Scotland is down here.
Scotland, yeah.
Scotland. Now, okay, as a English person, as a Londoner, you know, I'm not an expert on Scotland by any means. So the Scottish accent that I'm going to do is definitely very clichéd.
Okay? I know one word in the Scottish accent.
Yeah.
It's freedom!
Yeah. Exactly. Freedom!
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But they may take our lives... But they'll never take our freedom.
Yes, exactly. They can take our lives or whatever. Yeah. There are many different accents in Scotland as well. Like whether you're from Edinburgh or Dundee or Glasgow or from up north or wherever. Okay, but the one I'm going to do is like a very cliched one. And this sentence that you can see here was used in a commercial for a drink called Iron Brew. Iron Brew, okay?
Iron Brew.
I don't think you have it here. I think it's just in the UK. Iron Brew is like a soft drink. It's like Coca-Cola or Fanta or something. But the idea was that Iron Brew was like a real sort of powerful Scottish drink and that it was made from girders.
Girders.
Do you know what a girder is?
No.
A girder is a big piece of metal, basically. It's ridiculous, but, you know, it's the... And so the tagline in the commercial was Bar's Iron Brew, made in Scotland from girders. Okay.
Bar's Iron Brew, made in Scotland from girders.
Yeah, almost. Yeah, pretty good. Bar's Iron Brew, made in Scotland from girders.
Oh, yeah. So it's very cliche. Yeah.
Girders.
Girders.
That's why they put the word girders in there, because it's girders.
Okay.
Bar's Iron Brew, made in Scotland from girders.
Let's put as many R's as we can in one sentence. Was basically the
exactly. Yeah.
All right.
I feel a bit embarrassed when I do a Scottish accent because I don't think it's good enough, you know.
Well, you can't be the master of all accents.
I want to be the master of all accents. I shall be.
Where can you listen to a real Scottish accent? Oh, it's not on movies or shows because...
I know. I've been watching a TV show online, which is brilliant, and it's by a Scottish comedian, Scottish actor. His name's Limmy, or Lummy. Lummy. Limmy. Lummy, right? His name's Limmy. I don't know why.
You keep saying Limmy and looking at me. Like,
I know.
Limmy.
Yeah, you must think I'm insane, but that's all right.
So it's not Limey. It's Limmy.
It's Limmy, but Lummy. I don't know. I can't do it, really.
L-I-M-M-E-Y.
Limmy. And he's got a show called Limmy's Show.
Okay.
Limmy's Show. And he's from Glasgow, and he's got this brilliant Glaswegian accent. He's very funny. And so, yeah, you can hear him. You can hear the Scottish accent very, very well from Limmy. And lots of other people, like Billy Connolly. Do you know him? He's a comedian.
No.
A comedian with a big, long beard and a long hair. Well, hello there. That's terrible. Hello, I'm Billy Connolly. That's my Billy Connolly impression. Billy Connolly's a good example. Let's see, there are lots of others. The movie Trainspotting.
Yeah.
It's a movie with, what's the actor's name? Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I love him.
Ewan
Everybody
McGregor.
Loves him anyway.
He's great, isn't he? He's from Scotland. He's got a lovely Scottish accent, and you can hear it in Trainspotting. Some singers are from Scotland. I can't remember who they are. There's quite a famous girl now.
James Brown is from Scotland.
James Brown, really? The hardest working man in show business?
Yeah, yeah,
James
yeah.
James Brown.
Yeah.
Francis
Cabrel, too, the French singer, is from Scotland.
Really?
Gandhi is from there as well.
Gandhi's from Scotland,
yeah,
too,
yeah.
Is he really? Yeah, loads of people are from Scotland. I'll have to just come back to the Scottish accent. And do extra podcasts on that. I'll introduce
Alex
Limmy's
Ferguson.
Show. Alex Ferguson, he's from Dundee.
Yeah.
No, he's from Aberdeen.
Aberdeen, yes.
Yeah.
He was the coach. Aberdeen's coach.
Yeah, that's
before
right.
Before Manchester.
Yeah, he's great. He's got such a strong Scottish accent. I can't understand what
Me
he's
neither.
Saying.
Oh, you can't
no,
either.
Can't,
even
no.
though, okay.
No.
That's like us with the Quebec accent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have another guy called Gordon Strachan, who's a Scottish football manager. And I can't understand anything that Gordon Strachan says either. they've gone out there and, you know, the boys have done a good job. Now, that's terrible. Because whenever I do Scottish, it comes out Northern Ireland. All right, they've gone out there and they've done a grand job.
What's Irish? Well, Irish, when I listen, it's like, hey, it's right, Irish, eh? Or stuff like that.
Sounds a bit Scottish to me.
Oh, yeah.
Ireland, I suppose, if you're from Ireland, you're going to sound a little bit... Would you like another cup of tea? Would you like some tea?
I don't have the ear to listen to the difference.
Irish. Man. Irish.
Irish.
Yeah, Irish.
Irish.
I'm
Ireland.
Yeah, okay. Another one is, for example, they... In the same way that the Cockneys, when they say th, they go th. The Irish from Dublin, for example, will go t instead of th. So, torty. Torty tree.
Oh, really?
I'm torty tree tomorrow.
Years old.
That's Scotland. Yeah. That is Scottish. The rolling of the R.
What about years?
Okay. I'm torty tree tomorrow. I'm from Ireland, and I suppose I can't really do it. I can't really do it because now I've become Cornish. And now I'm from the southwest. Steve Bennett, comic from Ireland. He's got a cracking Irish accent. So listen to Steve Bennett.
He's going to be back in France in May, I think.
I should try and steal him for the podcast. I think that would be a good idea. I think it's time to wrap things up because I don't want to use up any more of my listeners' time.
Yeah, it's been
I'm sure that they're enjoying this. If you're still listening to this, ladies and gentlemen, well done. Congratulations to you. You're brilliant.
Thank you for your patience.
Thank you for your patience. You're extra special. I think there are two types of people in this world, Pierre.
That listen to podcasts till the end.
There's people who listen to Luke's English podcast, and there's people who listen to Luke's English podcast all the way till the end of every episode. And those are the people who are going to survive. You know, in evolution, The ones who didn't listen to all of the episodes, they're going to die out.
I agree.
And
because when the Scottish are going to rule the world, they're going to need to know how to make a Scottish accent.
A bad Scottish accent.
A bad Scottish accent. Yeah.
So this evening, I've got a bit of time. I think I'm probably going to do some more podcasting. So let's see. We've got, what, Scottish stuff from Limmy's show. What else? What else was there? Cockney again.
Cockney, Manchester.
I've done some Cockney already. I think we've pretty much covered Manchester, but I could come back to that. And I've got loads and loads of ideas here in my notebook. Thank you very much for joining me, Pierre. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It was really, really fun.
Yeah, it was. And we should do it again sometime.
Absolutely. Whenever you want.
Yeah. I'm planning to get... I'm planning to invite various people on this show. And who knows, maybe we can get like several people in.
We should do like a big conversation about, I don't know, we only have stand-up comedians, friends in common, but maybe we could do that.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Share everybody's opinion about comedy and whatever, our life. It would be very fun, I think.
Yeah. And we've got people from different countries, so it would be good to get a kind of melting pot
going on.
Café Paname République every Saturday from 8 o'clock.
No, it's at 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
You can check all the information on my website, www.pierregaspard.com. It's an English show called No Shame every Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Le Paname, which is near République. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Pierre Gaspard, still with the D, at Pierre Gaspard, or on Facebook, Pierre Gaspard Comedy. Facebook, you can find me there. Okay. You'll find videos on my website.
Okay, great. So I'll post a link to your website on my website.
Yeah.
And then listeners, if you have a website, you can sort of post links to my website on your website, and then maybe Pierre will post links to my website and his website, and then that's the internet, isn't it? That's
let's all make a big orgy of links from each other's websites and see what's happening.
Okay.
And we'll have little websites babies, like widgets babies, I don't know.
It sounds good.
Yeah.
Sounds very good. I expect what I'm going to do is listen back to this, and I'll make a list of some of the bits of language that have occurred in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe
and,
it was...
And then listeners can have a look at that, look at the language and learn it, and then use it to take over the world in a good way. Kim Jong-un can just get lost, as far as I'm concerned. He's an idiot.
Well, we'll see what's happening there. It's an interesting situation developing.
I'm actually quite upset about it because I've got friends in Japan, South Korea, who are stressing out. I hope that Kim Jong-un is just being an idiot and just trying to show off with his toys. I hope so, because if he's like the arrogance, Pierre, the fucking arrogance of this guy to threaten the use of nuclear weapons as a way of showing, hey, I'm the big guy on the block, look at my nuclear missiles. What an asshole. Seriously, to threaten to do that.
I don't know if he's going to go through with it. He would lose anyway, but if he goes through with it, that might be problematic.
I think he would be history's greatest asshole if that was to occur, and I just really, really hope that he doesn't do it.
Well, he's going to look like an asshole anyway, because if he doesn't do it, then he's just going to look like a pussy.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think part of the reason he's doing it is because he wants to show his people that he's the daddy, the Mac Daddy.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's doing. He's going, look at me, I'm better than America. So he's not doing it for us, he's doing it for his own people.
Oh, of course.
Because he's trying to keep them all under control. It's just pathetic, isn't it, really?
It's weird country.
Yeah,
nice. But I'm sure it's more complicated than we both can understand, really. Yeah.
Let's stick to talking about poop.
Yeah. He has very bad poop, this Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, bad poop, man.
Yeah.
Messy poop, yeah.
Yes, I'm sure he does. Much more messy than even ours.
Yeah.
Right, well, on that slightly disgusting, worrying and disgusting note, I think it's time to bring this podcast to a close. Thanks again for joining me, Pierre.
Thank you very much. It was very fun.
And thanks again for the listeners for listening to this. I usually end the podcast by going bye, 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 like that. And it's sort of like getting quieter. So do you want to join me in a bye, bye, bye?
Yeah, okay, let's do that.
So thanks for joining listening to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Please keep listening and look forward to doing another one of these shows in the near future. So that's it from me and Pierre. So bye. Thanks again for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.wordpress.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.